Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go. Good morning. Welcome to Undisputed. We are live from Los Angeles. I'm Jenny Taft, here with Skip Bayless, Shannon Sharp.
Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Hi, guys.
Hi, Jenny.
Yeah, how are you, Shannon?
Good.
You know what my favorite thing about this show is?
What?
You get beat down.
How much it torments him to have to keep talking about Tom Brady day after day after day. He has become your worst nightmare. I know you dream about him because you have nightmares about him.
Monday
I know you
last
dread
time.
Coming in here because Monday is going to be your worst day ever
Monday,
on Undisputed.
Monday be the last time.
No, uh-uh.
Maybe the last time. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well.
Yep.
I thought you said you
could
sing.
Are we going
to
sing?
I can.
You could have fooled me.
Yeah,
I couldn't even figure out what that song was. I had to like let it.
It's old.
You know what though?
Yeah, I have to say,
Skip, I'm enjoying it too.
Are you?
It's been fun talking about Tom Brady.
No, I thought you meant his singing.
Well, no, that was a nice little treat. But talking about Tom, how well he's been doing.
Let's talk about him some more.
Yeah, we have a lot more to get to on today's show, and also we're going to chat about LeBron. Shannon, are you starting to worry about your guy?
Never.
He's still injured. And then what about Skip's guy Kyler? Is he going to be a top 10 pick?
Yep.
But let's start with the AFC Championship game. And hey, some Tom Brady chat. The Patriots are a 3-point underdog heading to Kansas City. The two head coaches, Bill Belichick and Andy Reid, have history against each other. Belichick's teams have allowed at least 40 points 7 times in his career, and 3 of those were against Andy Reid, including the Patriots' 43-40 win in October. In fact, in 3 of the last 4 meetings between the two, Andy Reid's Chiefs have scored at least 40. So, Shannon, does Andy Reid have Belichick's number?
No. It's a moral function of Kansas City's offensive talent that they put on the football field. And don't feel bad. They score 40 against a lot of people. They average over 35.5 points per game.
Okay.
They're good. Mm. If you look at the times that – let's go back to 2014, Skip, when Andy Reid first got to Kansas City – the one thing that they can do that Coach Belichick doesn't like you to do is run the football. That night, they ran the football for over 200 yards. Now, Tom Brady really helped them that night, and that's why a lot of people thought it was over for him. He turned the ball over 3 times. It was 27-0 midway through the third quarter. Coach Belichick goes into every ball game, with the exception of the Super Bowl in which they beat the Giants. We're going to shut off your run. Well, he can't shut the run off. They're averaging 155 yards rushing. So now, if you run the football, Coach Belichick's dropped the safety down, says, okay, now try and run the ball. Guess what that opens you up to? The home run plays over the top. Tyreek Hill in 2 ball games, Skip, he had what? He's 14 catches, 275, 4 touchdowns. So now, remember we talked about this on Sunday. San Diego didn't take away anything. They couldn't stop the run. They couldn't stop the pass. And that's what's going on here, Skip, with Coach Belichick. He can't stop the run. And when you can't stop the run, you subject, especially if you got decent quarterbacks. Now, there are some times, Skip, you can't stop the run and the quarterback isn't very good. And so they can't punish you to the tune of 40 yards. But when you can't stop the run and Kansas City's running, you look at it in 2014, Nile Davis, Jamal Charles, not only were they running the football, they were catching the ball out of the backfield. Hung 41 on them. Again, the opening night, that Thursday night, what was it? Last year, Skip, 2 years ago. What happened? Kareem Hunt burst on the scene. 98 yards receiving, over 145 yards rushing. When you can do that, Skip, you're at the team's mercy. And now you throw in my homeboy. Now, this is what we know. Now, they did – oh, I know you like – oh, Alex Smith scored this – when they had
it. Have I spoke?
No, you haven't spoken. Finally, you know what, Jenny? I feel very comfortable. This is so nice of you, Skip Bayless, to allow me to talk without so rudely interrupting like you normally do.
I just had to point out that I have not spoken because you just tried to put words in my mouth.
Because I already know you.
Yeah.
The thing is that with Patrick Mahomes is that when you score like they score, you can't dink and dunk the ball. You have to be willing to put yourself in harm's way, and sometimes you're going to turn the ball over, but you're going to get those home run threats down the field. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill in two games, each game he has at least a 75-yard touchdown catch. He had, you know, what? Had 143 on the first game they played. This time he had 140-something and three touchdowns. So, Skip, when you have that kind of balance, when you can run the football and Coach Belichick wants to stop that run and he can't stop the run, they're immensely talented. Jamaal Charles had has the highest yards per attempt of anybody with a minimum of 1,000 carries. That's Jamaal Charles. That's what they're trying to stop. And then Kareem Hunt, we know what he represented his rookie year because he led the league in rushing. And now you come back. Kareem Hunt was there. He was there the last time they played two, Skip. Remember that.
Yeah.
And then Tyreek Hill was unbelievable, Travis Kelce. So that's what it is, Skip. I mean, they averaged 35 and a half. It's not like all of a sudden they averaged 20, and then when they played the Patriots, they get 40. No. They got 51 against the Rams. They got 40 against the Steelers. They got 45 against the Bengals. They get 40 against a lot of people.
We're not just talking about 2018, though. We're going back to 2014.
I said 20, yeah.
Okay.
That Monday Night Massacre.
So, the Hall of Famer Shannon Sharp just beautifully broke down to you exactly why Andy Reid owns Bill Belichick, why he has Bill Belichick's number, and that number is 40.
Oh, my goodness.
Way to go, because what we just saw, all the numbers you just displayed, they all scream that in the end, Bill Belichick has lost his fastball on defense. I don't know why people can't see this, because it has routinely happened, much of it because of Andy Reid, but I can go into several other games in which he has clearly just lost his fastball. These numbers scream that Bill Belichick should thank his lucky stars for the quarterback at age 41 who continues to save his legacy and let him off the hook for these collapses that routinely have happened, especially at the hands of one Andy Reid. So we're not going back to the Super Bowl, the long ago after the 2004 season Super Bowl. That's ancient history, and Belichick had his fastball on defense in those days. But lately, since Andy Reid has been in Kansas City, we have seen again, I just want to drive these numbers home, 41 points, 42 points, 40 points. And in those games, and by the way, there was a playoff game stuck in the middle of them after the 2015 season. It was in early 2016, a divisional round playoff game in Foxborough that went down to an onside kick, just for the record.
Right.
And I'm about to break that game down in just a second. But in the four games Andy Reid has coached against Belichick's defense while he's been in Kansas City, the Chiefs have gone 27 of 53 on third down. That's 51%. So more than half the time on third down, they convert. Trust me, you're going to be in trouble if that happens on that many third downs. If you allow more than half of 53 third downs to get converted, bad things are going to happen on the scoreboard. And that's what keeps on happening, because in those four games, Andy Reid's Chiefs have put up almost 100 first downs. That's 20. It's 24 a game for four games. And I point out that three of those four games were quarterbacked by Checkdown Alex, not by your homeboy, but by Checkdown Alex. In those three games that he has played, he's averaged 277 yards passing. His career average, to your point, is 205. Mm-hmm. So against Belichick, he just feasts on Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. And speaking of feasting, I know at the end of most regular seasons, you can say they've got a top five defense, or at least this year, a top 10 defense in score and points allowed, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's because they feast on the East. That's because they get six games a year against teams that they can deal with.
You see what you did, Skip Bayless? Jenny, you saw what he did. Now, when you want to make the argument that Coach Belichick has lost his fastball, now it's against the AFC East. But you don't do that when Tom Brady is winning all these AFC East titles. You don't mention the Jets. You don't mention Buffalo, and you don't mention Miami. Why?
Tom Brady put this team in position to have the one seed. This game, you know, in your heart of hearts, should be being played in Foxborough on Sunday night, not in Kansas City.
Because they shouldn't have lost to San Diego. I mean, LA Chargers, should they?
The game they shouldn't have blown, thanks to Bill Belichick, was up 33-28 with 7 seconds left in Miami. And Miami was stuck first and 10 at its 31-yard line and somehow managed to pull off a home run play that was not a Hail Mary, that did not require Rob Gronkowski to defend a Hail Mary at the goal line. It required him to make the tackle because he was the last line of defense. Broken down as he is, shell of himself, he can't run, he can't jump, he can't move, and he allowed the, I don't even know what we're going to call it, let's just call it the Miami Miracle play, that cost the New England Patriots this home field advantage. This game should be in New England because Tom Brady did his part in that game, played his best statistical game of the year at Miami, where he had lost four of his last five, to put this game at home. So, again, he almost saved Belichick from himself until the Miami Miracle occurred. But let's continue to look at the one good game that New England played against Andy Reid, and it was that playoff game, and it was 27-20. So they held Kansas City to 20 points, but look what they didn't hold them to. Kansas City in that game, this is at Foxborough, was 12 of 20 on third down. They ran 83 plays to only 56 for Tom Brady's offense and controlled the football 38 minutes to only 22 minutes. So Tom Brady only had the ball for 22 minutes in that game, and he was just extraordinary. He had a QBR of 87. He saved the day because all the little big throws that he made all counted.
They gave up 20 points. You
know, okay, but look what they gave up. That Alex Smith couldn't cash in the red zone.
Aren't they going against the defense?
Even then, they finally drove it at the end of the game, 80 yards for a touchdown. And with 1 minute and 15 seconds left, they had an onside kick that, again, I picked New England that game. And I am covering my eyes because if they recovered, these are the old onside kick rules where it was much more recoverable. Mm-hmm. And guess who recovered it? That guy Gronkowski, who used to be Gronkowski, and he recovered the onside and saved the day in that game.
That red zone, though, but I'm just going to know, who's responsible for the red zone?
Well, I'm just saying, but look what they gave. You want to talk about bend, but don't break.
Yes.
They didn't break enough, but boy, they bent a lot because 12 of 20 on third down, that's horrendous.
That is a lot of third down, Skip, but you do understand, in 2014, Tom Brady turned the ball over three times. Mm-hmm. They had 0 points midway through the third quarter.
Which game are we talking about?
2014, the Monday Night Massacre.
That was a disaster.
Okay, so you can understand how they could get to 40 if Tom turns the ball over and they're not generating anything offensively. They rushed the ball for over 200 yards.
Okay. If you run the ball. To your point, again, in the four games against Andy Reid, his team has run the ball an average of 155 yards a game. Well, you're probably going to lose.
Right.
You're lucky that you've pulled out any of those games.
And what did he also try to do, Skip? He says, I'm going to take away your best offensive weapon. Okay, who was Kansas City's best offensive weapon? You're going to take time because, see, Skip, I don't know if we've ever seen anything like this before. Because if you look, let's just take anybody that had a let's look at the Dallas Cowboys and Emmitt and Michael and Troy. Well, Troy couldn't throw the ball like Mahomes, and Michael damn sure couldn't run like Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. Okay, Emmitt could run the football. So if you start and say, you know what? The team weren't really worried about Michael getting over. Now, he's going to run that bang eight, the skinny post. He's going to run that deep five, that comeback. Mm-hmm. That's Michael Irvin's right. He made a living off that. Mm-hmm. But Skip, the big play potential. Tyreek Hill is a legitimate touchdown anytime he gets his hands on the ball. Mm-hmm. So Coach Belichick says, okay, I'm going to stack the box. Do you really want to stack the box against Tyreek Hill and leave him one-on-one with anybody? Mm-hmm. No, you don't. Coach Belichick, if you look at the way he builds his defense, Skip, for the most part, they are really, really young. He doesn't have a big – he doesn't have a Von Miller. He doesn't have a Khalil Mack. He doesn't have an Aaron Donald.
So whose fault is that? He's the personnel director. I don't know.
Because that's not how he wants to spend his money.
Well, he had Chandler Jones. And
he wants to spread his money over a lot of areas.
I still don't know where the money goes, but that's just me. I don't get it.
In his pocket, he's making a lot of money. But anyway, Skip, if you look at his team, they're really, really young. And early on, they make a lot of mistakes. But they build and they build and they build. And then when it gets time to late in the season in playoffs, everybody knows where they're supposed to be, and they make plays. Mm-hmm. So he's going to give you he doesn't care about yards. Mm-hmm. He don't care if he finished 32nd in yards. What he cares about is points. Mm-hmm. As long as I keep your butt out of the end zone, kick those field goals. Because I know I got a guy, you kicking field goals, I got a guy that's going to go get seven. Mm. So that's the way he approaches it, Skip. Mm. But don't be a back.
I don't know how young they are. When I start thinking about Chung and – Hightower and Devin McCourty and Stephon Gilmore. I don't know. They seem like old to me.
No, but see, he sprinkles in Trey Flowers and he gets a Van Noy. Skip, he gets got. Now everybody can't play for him. Remember, Chris Long won the Super Bowl. They wanted him back. He says, no, I need to go where I can be a football player, Skip. Mm-hmm. I want to rush the passer. You give up anything that you want. You give that up. If you want to make the Pro Bowl, Skip, as a defensive lineman, mm-hmm. it's not going to happen if you play for the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to two-gap, you're going to play right down the guy because Coach Belichick mm-hmm. don't want you getting up the field and leaving lanes for the mm-hmm. quarterback. So it's really, really hard for you to make the Pro Bowl, and you got to be willing to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Everybody says they want to win, mm-hmm. but very few people are willing to sacrifice and do what it takes to win. Mm. And in order to go there, in order to play for him, that's what you have to do.
Okay. Well, all that old, new talent on defense, October 14th at home this year mm-hmm. against Patrick Mahomeboy, gave up 31 points in the second half. That's just horrendously bad. That tied for the worst second half points allowed in the whole league this year, in the whole season.
What did they do to Mahomeboy in the first half?
Okay.
Hightower picked him, ran it back down to the 7, and they picked him up in the end zone. That would have assured gotten points, but it held him out of the end zone.
24-9 at halftime.
Yes.
And then here came the Chiefs, and all of a sudden they get ahead 33-30, and Tom Brady happened. And he actually ran for the touchdown that put them back ahead with a 4-yard run. Who knew? Mm-hmm. And then he threw for 182 yards just in the fourth quarter and outscored Patrick Mahomeboy 16-14 in the fourth quarter. That was just all Brady all the time and saved Bill Belichick again. He saved him constantly. And just think about this. How about the last Super Bowl? Did Brady not do his part to take Belichick off the hook? Because Belichick gave up 41 to Nick Foles. Mm-hmm. 41 Super Bowl?
But what couldn't he do? Couldn't stop the run. So now you can't
all right.
stop
well,
the
whose
run.
Fault? That's somebody's fault.
Whoa. Yeah. Now you just said running the football. You just said this yesterday. In mm-hmm. the past 2 days, you said running the football and stopping the run is about want to. You said the Cowboy mm-hmm. defense didn't want to. Mm-hmm. So now that's Coach Belichick's fault?
Well, it wasn't in the Super Bowl. Nick Foles threw a big party in the Super Bowl.
Because if you can't stop
373. Yeah.
But if you can't stop the run, what can I do to you now? I can play action you. And you talk about play action, Skip, to a team that already can't rush the quarterback. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And by the way, in the 4 games against Andy Reid, the Patriots have totaled 6 sacks in 4 games. So whoever, whether it's Alex Smith or Patrick Mahomes, they have had time to order Kansas City barbecue before they decide where they're going to throw the football, right?
Yeah.
There's no pressure. So they run it at will, 155 a game, and they throw it at will because you can't get any heat on the quarterback.
But let's go back to that October Sunday night game. You say the score at the halftime was what? 24-9.
Yeah.
So did Kansas City get a touchdown and a safety, or did they kick 3 field goals once they got into the red zone? Because if you say they kicked 3 field goals in the red zone, I need you to applaud and clap for Coach mm-hmm. Belichick's defense mm-hmm. because they did their job.
They did their job, and they gave up 40 points at home, 31 in the second half.
Okay, let's just say
that's do their job. That you know what? Those are fireable numbers. All these numbers I've given you, most coaches not named Bill Belichick would get fired over
okay,
all this.
Okay, let me ask you this.
The owner would finally say, this guy just doesn't know what he's doing.
Instead of 24-9 at the half, the score is 20. Oh, because the score easily could have been what? They got a pick. So let's just say for the sake of argument, the score is 24-24. Because instead of kicking field goals, they scored touchdowns, and Mahomes threw a pick in the end zone to mm-hmm. end the half. So mm-hmm. now it's 24-24. Mm-hmm. Now, Skip, I can say, you know what, Skip, you're right. Coach Belichick's lost it. His defense is not holding up their end of the deal. But they did, because not only did they take the possession because Mahomes threw that interception, I think if I'm not mistaken, it was either first or second down.
First down.
That Hightower picked it.
Oh, no, that was the first one. I thought you meant one at the end of the half.
The Hightower picked him, I think it was first or second.
I forget what it was, but he ran it back to the 4-yard line.
Yeah.
So it was just a gift.
Hold on, so who did that? Was that Brady? Mm. Was that Gronk? Gronk picked that ball. That's an offensive pick. Mm-hmm. Come on, Skip, look. You can make
31 points in the second half?
Yeah. You make it, but here's the thing.
How many times they pick off Mahomes in the second half? How many turnovers did they force?
None.
But
they
also
Brady
gave up
turned
a 90,
it off.
They gave up a 97-yard kickoff.
Kickoff return. Yeah. But Skip, here's the thing, is that at some point, you got to give you keep saying you don't want to give the offense any credit. You just keep giving blame. But you only give credit to Brady, but you don't place blame on the defense. Why is that?
place blame on what defense?
The opposing defense when Brady is carving them up. You just highlight what Brady's doing. Well, maybe they've lost their fastball.
Okay, Philadelphia had the fifth best scoring defense in pro football last year. And in the Super Bowl,
Brady carved it up for 500.
505 yards. No one in the history of the National Football League has ever thrown for that many yards in any playoff game, let alone a Super Bowl. And he did it on only 28 completions. So if you do the math on that, every time he completed a pass, it was for an average of 18 yards a completion. That is off the charts sensational. That's
so
otherworldly.
Jim Schwartz, that's a fireable offense. Okay. That's a fireable offense
it
with Jim Schwartz.
41 to 33. He put up 33, by far the most points a loser has ever put up.
Against the fifth-ranked defense.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because he's Tom Brady.
Oh, see, now.
At age 40, he is by far the greatest quarterback who ever played. He has gone, eons beyond
Joe
Montana.
But see, you make it seem like Mahomes is trash. How could Patrick Mahomes score 31 points?
No,
all he's going to do at the age of 23, he just threw 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards.
But what just punctures your argument is that checkdown Alex was doing the same thing. He did it three times. He did it.
What are we going to do about Kareem Hunt going off for 250 yards opening day?
I don't know. Look, it's just.
Did you know Kareem Hunt could do that?
It's like pick your poison. Sometimes they run it like crazy, and sometimes they throw it like crazy. But they do whatever they take whatever they want from Belichick's defense.
Right.
Do you know the old story? Do you know the expression "the emperor has no clothes"?
Yes.
Do you know that?
Yes.
It's from a Hans Christian Andersen short story called "The Emperor's New Clothes," and the weavers who were going to make his new outfit right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They convinced him that they had something so great that common folk couldn't see it, but they really had nothing. So he actually went out and paraded down Main Street with no clothes on, thinking he had on beautiful clothes.
Yeah.
Well, that's Bill Belichick. He has no clothes. And everybody thinks he still wears beautiful clothes, except me. And I'm saying Brady is wearing beautiful clothes, and Belichick is naked. He's naked. Andy Reid has disrobed him four times.
And
he's exposed him four times.
Not to get too graphic here, but that's
what happened.
So for my clarification, because I'm really not that good. So Coach Belichick has been the head coach in New England for 20 years, right?
Yeah.
20 seasons. That's 16 games. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's 320 total games. Am I correct? So you trying to tell me in 320 games, he's given up 40 points seven times, and now he lost his fastball?
Last 3 years, lost his fastball.
Stop playing, Skip.
Saved
baby. You're too
only,
big
only by the 40-year-old quarterback, now 41. It's just extraordinary what's happening.
So what about when Coach Belichick's defense was giving up 17 points in the Super Bowl, and they lost? Whose fault was that?
When is this?
That was against the New York Giants.
Oh, that's
that was
a long
against
time.
The
that,
New York Giants.
That's back in the day.
Oh, right? but hold on. Okay. You got Tom Brady, the all-time greatest.
I said lately he's lost it. Last 3 years, lost his fastball. And the guy who's taken the biggest advantage is Andy Reid in Kansas City. Not Andy Reid in Philadelphia. Andy Reid in Kansas City.
You. 320 games.
Oh,
he's
please.
Given up 40 points.
We're talking
seven
about
times.
The last 3 years. You know what I'm talking about. 41, 42, and 40. And they better hope that it's below zero in Kansas City, because if it's not, he's going to put up another 40.
Got to update resumes around.
Yeah.
That's what we do, right?
And that's what Coach Belichick did. He upgraded his with a couple of Super Bowls in the last 3 years.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, since you said what has Coach Belichick had added to his resume in the last 3 years?
Mm.
Super Bowls.
Mm.
Just a couple.
I think
either
Tom
way.
Brady.
No.
We are ready for this game. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. But how about LeBron?
Mm-hmm.
When are we going to see him back on the court?
So,
the Lakers. It's been a long time. We'll discuss next.
No mercy.
Hey, guys. Jenny Taft here. More of the Undisputed podcast is on the way. But first, I wanted to talk to you about Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. With data presented in an easy-to-digest way, Robinhood is a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest with true confidence. Here's why I recommend Robinhood. No commission fees. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all of your profits. It's simple. With easy-to-understand charts and market data, Robinhood allows you to place a trade in just four taps on your smartphone. The Robinhood web platform also lets you view stock collections and analyst ratings of buy, hold, sell for every stock. You learn by doing it. Learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. Discover new stocks and track your favorite companies with a personalized news feed. And you can create custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Best of all, Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at undisputed.robinhood.com. That's undisputed.robinhood.com to start investing today. Now, back to the show. No
mercy. Well, the Lakers did beat the Bulls last night in what Lonzo Ball called a must-win. Lonzo had 19 points. Kyle Kuzma and Brandon Ingram added 16 each. LA is now 4-7 without LeBron. He's supposed to be reevaluated today, but his agent Rich Paul said LeBron will definitely miss the next two games on the road against the Thunder and Rockets. Shannon, it has been over 3 weeks now. Over three weeks.
Yeah.
Are you surprised LeBron is still out?
Absolutely not. Actually, it's going to be a month because he ain't going to be back till probably next week sometime.
Really?
Yes.
Did you advise
That's
him
a good
of
thing?
This?
I ain't advising nobody of
anything.
I'm just going by, you know, having this injury before myself. Okay. There's nothing to be concerned about, Skip. I would have been concerned had he come back in a week. Because I would have said, you're pushing it, you're coming back too soon, and there's a greater risk for re-injury. And normally when you re-injure something, you're down longer than the original injury that put you down to begin with. So I applaud him. Because the athlete in us, especially when we see our team struggling, our natural instinct is like, I got to get back out there. I got to help. I got to save the day because I know there's something that I can do to prevent this from happening.
But?
And you rush yourself back out there and you hurt yourself. So LeBron understands this. See, after they play OKC, who got trounced last night by the Hawks, so they're not invincible. James Harden is another level. James Harden might get 70. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. We're not talking about James Harden.
Different day.
After this two games, Skip, they won't have to leave home until February. They got four home games, and then when you throw the Clippers, make the fifth, they won't have to leave Staples until February.
But you don't want any part of that first home game back, right?
What you mean?
Golden State. You don't want any part of that. You don't want to come back for that game.
We're going to come back when we're healthy, 100%, Skip Bayless. And we're not going to – listen, the one thing that I told Bron, if I could talk to him, I said, Bron, he said, huh?
He said,
yeah, yeah,
that's good.
And yeah, if I could tell Brian something, I was like,
he
Brian.
Listens hard.
Like, huh? Yeah. I said, look, don't you get coaxed into it. There are certain guys out here, Skip Bayless, that's going to try and coax you to come out there. Oh, LeBron, you're Iron Man. You've never been hurt. Well, what's a little old groin doing keeping a 6'9"? What is he now? Did he run out of vibranium? I mean, what's going on, Shannon? That'd be lush Shannon Sharp.
That's good.
Yeah,
I like that.
You, Skip
that's
Bayless.
Good.
Look, I'm not concerned at all, Skip. I just think he's erring on the side of caution, and you don't want to have this thing get re-injured and you're going to be down. If you miss a month with the original injury, re-injure it again, and you'll be down 2 months. And LeBron doesn't want that. The Lakers don't want that. And it's not going to happen. So he'll be just fine. I'm not concerned at all.
Really?
And when he comes back, oh, this is Jordan. Because guess where we are, Skip? We're in the ninth spot. When he comes back and start climbing
You just accidentally creeped back into the eighth spot last night.
Okay, we're in the eighth spot. But that's not where we were when he left. But
see,
but when he comes back, the old song, Jenny, I don't know, like you go to a black church, they'll be singing, we are climbing Jacob's ladder. That's what we say. Because when he comes back, that's what we're going to be climbing, Jacob's ladder. Step by step, we're going to be in the seventh.
I don't think LeBron's ever sung that song.
Stop
before.
It, Skip.
I just don't think so.
Today.
I could be wrong.
But,
hey, we're in the eighth right now, Skip. In 3 weeks, we'll be in the fourth spot again. Now, run tell that. You want to put due on that?
Run tell this. Somehow, the 41-year-old quarterback in New England played all 17 games so far this year.
Oh, my God.
All 17. And how old is he now? I keep forgetting.
He's 34.
I was going to say 38.
But no, he's not.
He's in his 16th year.
16.
Is he 46? No, the 16th year. I got it.
But
so
they can't
somehow
hit the
that guy who I thought was Iron Man has already missed, what is he up to, 11 games. And according to you, it sounds like we're on track to miss maybe 15 games before he comes back.
Yep.
Because I'm looking, I've already circled Phoenix, which is a week from Sunday.
Man, ain't nobody playing against no Phoenix. We going to come back before then.
Well, that's the one you need to come back
No,
for,
we
right?
going to go back before
Okay,
back
well, the one before that is Jenny's T-Wolves come.
That's what we got.
Okay.
That's not.
You got that
we
one?
We got them.
Yeah. I don't know.
I even believe that right now.
We're coming back against the T-Wolves.
Yeah.
I have to hark back to the tweet that still sticks in my mind and in my craw that was tweeted, I think, by LeBron James. It's from his official account on December 26th. Can we show that, please?
He was hacked.
Look at this. Dodged a bullet, exclamation point. Sheesh. Better than the other word, right? Then praying hands to the Almighty above. Hashtag back in no time. No time is a long time.
No time.
Well, his no time is my long time. I don't know. I thought he was invincible.
Your time and his time is different.
Well, wait a second. It was just a little tweak of the groin, or maybe you got torn. That if you're going to miss a month, something got torn a little bit. There's something going on in there.
We can't tell
the
you.
The MRI showed some real damage to the groin, right? So I don't know where this came from. Dodged a bullet? I think the bullet got him right in the groin.
See, Skip, time is a relative term. And see, in the Bible, they say 1,000 years in the eye of God might be a day. So a long time for you, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Might be an hour for Bron. And a month for you, for him, might be 2 days for you. Time is relative.
So, let's go relative back in his career. The longest stretch he ever missed was 8 games back in 2014 into 2015.
You told me that's ancient history.
8 games. Well, it's not that long ago, but it was when he had just returned to Cleveland. Yeah. He needed to go back to
Miami. 5 years, Skip.
Get that vibranium going, and then he was okay after that.
There you go.
He said he had a sore knee. I don't know what he had. But he
maybe needed to go see Alice Guerrero.
Well, maybe he did.
Maybe he needed to go see Dr. Alice Guerrero and that Chinese medicine.
Maybe he needs some pliability to add to his routine because maybe he's getting a little stiff in his
advanced stage. Maybe Guerrero got an ancient Chinese secret, Jeannie. That ain't none of my business, though.
Well, it ain't none of my business what's going on with this guy. But
he going to be back. Why are you rushing it?
Which guy looks like he uses vibranium? Tom Brady or?
Tom Brady.
Yeah. Have you seen LeBron James lately?
Yeah. Diesel.
Oh.
Diesel.
Yeah. No, you told
ripped.
Me. He getting a little thin. I mean, what's going on with you, LeBron?
He looks really good, but I think that's from the cigars and the wine. It's, you know.
If it work it out. I don't know. And do you hear Luke say he's starting to pick up his own court activity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I see him. You know, he's moving around a little bit, so why not play? Which brings me to my theory. I got a theory.
Okay, let's hear it.
I think he's watching this team struggle. I believe quietly he's liking that this team is struggling because it plants and creates the new narrative. He doesn't have enough help in Los Angeles. It plants the narrative because Cleveland came here and won the game that he had more help in Cleveland than he has in Los Angeles.
So did the Knicks come here and win the game. So ask yourself that question.
So everybody in Laker Nation is saying, gee, we really need LeBron because this team isn't very good without him. And obviously there's no Rondo either.
So let me get this right, Skip Bayless. You can't beat the Cavs without LeBron. You can't beat the Knicks without LeBron. But even with LeBron, you're going to beat Golden State 4 times. Okay, when CP3 and Capella comes back, you're going to beat Capella, James Harden. 4 times. Stop playing.
Okay, you're just helping me with my idea here. This is my theory that LeBron is setting himself up to win MVP. Because this is beautiful, man.
He was going to win it anyway.
Okay, he wasn't going to win it anyway.
He
needs to come back completely, not only healthy, but incredibly rested. Because this is a beautiful month off. Why don't I just take a month off from like this Christmas until late January?
Yeah. Let me get
up toward the Super Bowl.
Santa and say, Bron, what back. You want?
Okay, what a beautiful plan of attack here. Because then he comes back and you know what? The West is it's the weird West
because
it's just crazy because last night Denver at home, they were leading the West. Mm-hmm. They gave up 142 total points. They gave up obviously 51 points in the first quarter in Mile High, right?
Yeah.
This is where supposedly, I still think it's a wives' tale, but you can't breathe.
It's real.
I don't believe it.
It is.
That's just me.
Go out there and run a marathon.
I've run big distance in Denver. Trust me. I've trained for marathons in Denver and it never.
Why are you training for them in marathons if the altitude didn't help?
Well, I went there to cover games, and I'm in the middle of marathon training, and I had some big, long runs, and I kept thinking, why aren't I
That's why your column was late, because you was out of gas. That's why your column was late.
Sure affects me.
Okay.
It affects me.
I feel it.
Do you?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I don't ever feel it, and I've run there a whole lot. But the point is that in Denver, Golden State just goes in there and says, watch this. Yeah. And that's the top team in the West. And I think they were sixth in defensive efficiency.
Yeah.
And they give up 51 in the first quarter.
Yeah,
okay. But it just shows you how vulnerable Denver can be. And by the way, with my own two eyes, I watched LeBron and company beat Denver at Staples earlier this year.
And so you watched them beat them at Golden State.
Well, that was more about Lance Stevens.
Yeah, well, no. Yeah, don't do that.
The Denver game. Lance just took it over.
No, I'm talking about Golden State.
Oh, well, that was
doing
a wipeout.
Before he got hurt.
Well, that was the day.
Yeah.
Right? What was it? 127 to, no, what was it? Yeah, 127 to 101. What? That was at Golden State on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So are they not still weirdly vulnerable? Yes, they're vulnerable.
Yeah, but when they shoot like they
shot
against,
when they do that, it's over.
Nobody.
Okay, nobody can touch them. And I don't know what DeMarcus Cousins is going to do. Is he going to blend right in? Yeah. I don't know. They're talking like, uh-oh, it's about to be over because DeMarcus is just dominating in practice. Well, we'll see about that.
Yeah, of course. He's a big. They ain't got no big that can handle boogie.
Then, to your point, Oklahoma City last night, in a shock to me because they played such good defense, they give up 142 at Atlanta? 142, they just don't show up.
Yeah, and Atlanta's trying so hard to get Zion Williamson.
Okay, so that's correct. So you can see again, is it vulnerable in the – I mean, are all these teams vulnerable? Yes. So I think LeBron's sitting back stroking his chin saying, you know what, I'm just going to wait a little longer. I'm going to come back for Phoenix so I can light it up.
He's not coming back.
He will. He'll wait until Phoenix. No, no. That's too dangerous.
No.
There's too much firepower on that.
You want to put him
so much inconsistency.
Do on what?
He coming back against Timberwolves.
No, I'm not. You probably got inside info.
See, why are you waiting? Why every time I bet, I got inside information?
I'm guessing Phoenix. That's what they keep delaying and pushing back because first we hear, he's going to come back in two games. And then it's like, no, he's going to miss three more games. Really?
What did I tell you? I said, if you're starting to feel good and you feel good and you want to go two games, take another two.
Okay. So he comes back for Phoenix, and here they go, and they take off on a streak, and they rip off, 9 out of 10 or whatever. And you know what the new narrative would be? LeBron's the MVP, right? James Harden right now, to me, is running away with it because he's doing it without CP3 and now without Capella and obviously had Eric Gordon. But you can't argue against that. But we still got a long way to go, and LeBron is perfectly positioned, Hollywood Bron in Staples, to make this run.
LeBron Bolt.
Yep.
In other words, he's chasing everything, all the MVP front runners. Mm-hmm. He's chasing you down.
Yep.
You ain't got a big enough lead.
Well,
so Giannis, you up first, bruh.
Yeah, but what you got to watch out for is all those teams coming from behind you because it is still loaded. And I keep saying the Pelicans will make a run at some point. The T-Wolves will make a run.
That T-Wolves, they making nothing.
Dallas Mavericks will make a run. They're just too talented not to make
LeBron,
a run.
LeBron and I will cut from the same cloth, Skip Bayless. And I know he didn't run track, but I ran track, and I had a simple philosophy. Mm-hmm. What's behind stays behind.
Okay.
What's ahead was caught.
You ran a 4.8 40. How'd you run track? seriously, what track meet are you going to win?
I'm going to show you something on Friday.
Okay.
And let you know that I didn't run no 4.8.
Oh, on Friday?
On Friday.
What on earth would that be?
I don't know. You need to stop putting that out there because people actually think, people see me walking down the street. Did you really run a 4.8?
My man John Wooden told me this. He said he hand-timed you. He had his own watch.
I didn't run no 4.8.
He was a super scout. He went to Savannah State.
He did.
He did.
Detroit was there. I think the Falcons were there. The Jets was there.
Yep.
And you know what?
He went click, click, 4.8.
That was a little slow click today. It was like click.
A little slower. It happens.
But anyway,
it does happen.
Robert Rex Ryan dead. Buddy came down and timed me. Buddy got me at 4.63 on dirt.
Stick with that one.
That's what Buddy. And Buddy say, son, if you're available when we draft, in the third round, we're going to take you. They took Calvin Williams. They took Fred Barnett. They took Mike Bell. They didn't even look at me, Skip.
Well, there you go.
Look, I was just a party.
Yeah. You stuck it to them.
Yeah, they regret it.
Well, only since...
I'm going to stick with America's team's time on that
one. I bet you.
Interesting.
Well, they should have took me instead of Alexander Wright. They'd have been better off.
You know what? He had some problems. Woo.
He could run, though.
I got to know him. He could really run.
Yeah. No
mercy. You brought up the Cowboys.
Yes, thank you.
Let's talk about it.
Let's.
We are done watching them this season, but that doesn't mean that we are done hearing from Jerry Jones. Yesterday, Jerry said he agreed with the report that the Rams offense could read the Cowboys' defensive signals. He also said the field was slippery and his team didn't have enough traction. And Jerry showed support for Jason Garrett, saying if Jason was part of the coaching carousel this offseason, He would have had 5 offers. Shannon, do you have a problem with anything Jerry said yesterday?
Yes, I got a problem. I got a problem with everything that he said.
Everything.
Well, that's shocking.
It's never, he doesn't want to give the opposing team any credit. Mm. It's never we got outplayed. It's always, well, I would have gone for it on fourth down or everybody was slipping. Well, I'm glad. I am so glad the Rams played in a dome. And then when the Cowboys got the ball, they had to go outside. Mm-hmm. Would Jerry Jones please stop that? Would mm-hmm. fire your equipment manager because mm-hmm. you have the same equipment that the Rams had. And so whatever they checked, whether you had on speed TDs or you had on 7 studs, it didn't matter. They were rooting you up out of there. Mm-hmm. See, here's the thing, Jerry. You can bring a little news to you, Jerry.
Okay.
See, the way you view Jason Garrett and the way the league views Jason Garrett mm-hmm. is something entirely different. Jenny, I got 2 very prized possessions of all the things I own. More valuable than my Super Bowl rings, more valuable than my Hall of Fame ring. One is a plant that I got from my grandmother's funeral. I've had it since 2011, Skip. The plant's about, like when I went, the horticulturist told me, it was about 6 months old when I got it. Mm-hmm. Maybe a year old when I got it. So it's about 8-9 years old now.
Wow.
That, and I got a picture of my grandmother sitting on a cooler fishing. They're not gonna hang that in any museum. The value is with me, sentimental value.
Okay.
Jerry Jones, Jason Garrett, value is to you. Hmm. Nobody else views him like you view him. Hmm. I'll give you another example, Skip Bayless. Mike McCarthy was the coach for the Green Bay Packers for 13 years. Mm-hmm. 9 times he went to the playoffs. He went to 4 conference finals. He won a Super Bowl. Mike McCarthy was in contention for 1 head coaching job. Jason Garrett has won 2 playoff games. And you think somebody was going to hire him? Mm. Jerry, only you view Jason Garrett in that light. So in other words, the sentimental value that he has is mm-hmm. only to you. He's not valuable to anyone else. Everybody knows he's not coaching the team. You are. You need to stop this chicanery. Mm. You can't fool O'Shea Sharp. Not all of a sudden, yeah, they knew our signal. But in 92, they used to know our signal when we had him in Detroit. Guess what, Jerry? You know what? I don't like breaking news because that's not what I do. I don't break news. I'm not an insider. You're not that 90s team. Mm. Contrary to what you think, Dak Prescott is not Troy Aikman. Ezekiel Elliott is not Emmitt Smith. And Amari Cooper is not Michael Irvin. Mm. This is not the 90s Cowboys 2.0. Once you come to that realization, mm-hmm. you'll be just fine. Mm. So, Jerry, you need to stop this foolishness. Do what you always do. My grandma used to say, boy, if you do what you always done, you'll get exactly what you've always got. Mm. So guess what the Cowboys are going to get, Skip? What have they done for the last 8 years? They'll get what they've always gotten. Keep Jason Garrett, and you'll get exactly mm-hmm. what you've been getting. You'll play well enough. You'll probably miss the playoffs next year. The following year, you'll make the playoffs. You'll win a game. Maybe not. Mm. And Jerry will be just happy. Mm. But you're not going nowhere. Mm. Sit back and like it. And I told you this. Mm. Told you. It hurt, doesn't it, Skip? Mm. That you should be playing the NFC Championship game. You should. That's where the Cowboys should be with all that talent. Mm. All them Pro Bowlers. Mm. Even Vander Esch now is in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. Yep.
DeMarcus Lawrence. Mm. So, in other words, you guys have as many Pro Bowlers on the field Saturday night as the Rams. Mm-hmm. And they ran.
No, they actually had 5-4. No, 6-4 if you add Vander Esch.
So now, I didn't know this.
6-4.
They say Dallas. When yeah. somebody runs yeah. over you, they say it's roughshod. We say roughshod. They ran roughshod over y'all.
I use that in a tweet. Yeah. Roughshod, S-H-O-D,
yeah,
shod.
Yeah, I thought we don't say shod.
Okay.
We don't do correct. We do roughshod.
First point of order on Mike McCarthy. He was viewed by the league as damaged goods because he fell apart with the greatest thrower of the football ever, Aaron Rodgers. So what went on there? Do we want to take a chance on that guy who couldn't even get along with the biggest diva who ever played quarterback in this league?
No.
Aaron Rodgers? That was just a travesty what happened to Mike McCarthy. He deserves a job, and I'm not sure Jason Garrett would have had 5 offers, but trust me, he would have had 2 offers.
From who?
And God rest the soul of your grandmother, but she did not coach the Dallas Cowboys to not 1 or 2, but 3 division titles. That's what Jason Garrett did. So he's valuable
to... Is that talent? With that, Taylor, okay. And all you got is division titles to show me.
But think about this. Just step back. I know you got to sift through all your Cowboy hate, which is just spilling out of you
I'm
right
coming
now.
Back. I'm sipping.
You're
I'm
so back. Happy that they're not plaguing
off.
You anymore. Yeah. Just think about this.
Now I'm back.
Okay.
Jason Garrett is still 77-59 as the head coach of the Cowboys. Do I like him? I don't. I've tried to fire him 29 times on this show.
You have.
But he's 77-59. So in a vacuum, if you put him on the open market, somebody's going to sit back and say, he won 3 NFC Easts?
With that title and no Super Bowls?
Wait a second. In 2014, he goes 12-4, and then 2016, he goes 13-3, and then 2018, he goes 10-6, and then wins a playoff game. He's 2-3 in the postseason, which is not 0-5. My point is, we look at some of the people who got, I mean, Cliff Kingsbury got a head coaching job. And I like Cliff Kingsbury a lot, but I don't know how he got that job.
Because they believe he can coach. Think about this, Kim. In 2014, the 3 offensive linemen made the Pro Bowl.
Okay.
So did Dez, so did Jason Witten, and so did DeMarcus, so did DeMarco Murray.
All right.
So you got 7 Pro Bowlers
on
the offensive side of the football, and you win how many playoff games? Okay, you follow that up. Guess what? When Zeke comes in, you got another 6 guys go to the Pro Bowl. And you win how many playoff games?
Mm-hmm.
0. So now, again, you got 2 offensive linemen in the Pro Bowl. You got Zeke in the Pro Bowl. And you win 1 playoff game. So I'm just trying to figure out. Let me ask you a question, Skip Baylor. Let's just say for the sake of argument, because that's what we do up here. We argue.
Yep.
You know what? Arguing is such a harsh term. I hate arguing, especially with the commercial that came out. So
I like to argue, but that's just
I like to say debating.
Debate.
Debate sounds so much better. It's a healthy discussion, and that's what we do.
Yeah. Debate.
When my therapist says, Shannon, say healthy discussion.
Oh, did you just admit that you...
My therapist says, Shannon...
Really?
Yeah, I'm getting in touch with myself.
Yeah, you just went Tony Soprano.
Yeah, but anyway, she said,
Shannon,
healthy discussion.
Okay.
What would Sean McVay do with that kind of offensive talent?
I don't know. He's got plenty on
his
own.
I mean, think about it, Skip Baylor. You had those 3 offensive linemen.
What are you talking about, Sean McVay? You already told me he's got the best running back in football.
He do.
And you think Jared Goff's way better than Dak Prescott. So what are you talking about?
No, I'm saying if he'd had that, if he'd had
Brandon
that talent,
Cooks
if he'd
and had, Robert Woods.
If he had that talent in 2016 with his imagination and motivation. You say he can motivate. You say your guy can't motivate.
Yeah,
that's what you say.
He cannot. I don't like my guy, but trust me, my guy would have gotten offers on the open market because there's a dearth of available coaches.
Yeah, but they don't.
They're all just desperate
Jerry
and scrambling.
Is coaching. See, Jerry, they're giving Jerry all the credit with none of the accountability.
Okay.
See, all the losses go on his resume, but everybody know behind the scenes, like you tell me, puppet.
I agree. I wish somebody would hire him away.
No, keep him there.
Love him there.
Yeah, I do.
Does Jerry live in the past in the 90s? Yeah, he does to a certain point. But what did I tell you yesterday before Jerry uttered these words? I told you the 90s Cowboys, everybody, I said exactly to you on the show yesterday what Jerry Jones then said on his radio show, which is in the 90s, everybody knew everything we were doing. We were so simple. We telegraphed everything. Yeah. They didn't try to cover up their signals. I told you, North Turner told me after the first Buffalo Super Bowl, they knew everything. They certainly knew run or pass. They had binoculars on me, and whatever I would call, they would know whether we were going to run or throw. That's a big deal in a football game to have that advantage.
Do you realize what you have? You think about, you got 3 Hall of Famers.
Hey, I'm just saying, that's why I told you yesterday. They did not care about tells or secrets or
all you're doing is validating my point now. Because your offense isn't that good.
Yeah,
you can't tell.
Okay, now we're getting to the third point here. I told you, the most shocking outcome of a first half of a football game was Saturday night right here in Los Angeles at the
Coliseum. Why were you surprised?
Coliseum. Because the Dallas Cowboys had been one of the best defenses against the run all year. They had just stifled Seattle's number one rushing attack. And when New Orleans came in with, I think they were the number 3 rushing attack on that Thursday night game, they just shut it down. They held it to 65 yards rushing because they're really good against the run. So it was as inexplicable a first half outcome as I've ever seen because I couldn't process it. And don't give me boy genius Sean McVay.
Yeah,
baloney.
Boy genius.
Baloney.
Boy wonder.
My team, A, did
wonder
not key. Show up. It was more psychological and motivational.
Why didn't
you
show up? Whoa. That, hold on. You used that excuse against Indy.
Yeah.
Now, this is the playoffs.
No,
these games matter.
I used it validly against
Aaron
Rodgers in the playoff game at Jerry World.
But guess what? You know what the Rams did? They took DeMarcus Lawrence theory. What you do is when you hit a mofo in the mouth, and then later in the game, you can choke his you-know-what out, Skip Bayless. So they hit him in the mouth, and then third and fourth quarter, they choked him out.
Oh, did they choke him out?
Choke
it was an eight-point game when it was early in the fourth quarter, when it was fourth and one at the Rams' 35-yard line. That's choking him out, isn't
choked
it?
Choked him out.
And Jason Garrett calls Ezekiel up the middle. And now let me get to the traction point.
Sure.
That is a valid excuse, but your response to that excuse is also very valid.
Yeah.
It was slippery. It rained half the day on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I know that field very well. I've covered hundreds of games in that Coliseum. And it has a reputation on that grass field for getting slick, especially if it rains during the day.
Really,
and there's this old song, it never rains in Southern California, but it does rain occasionally
recently.
Here. And when it does, it gets really slick out there. And you have to be prepared for it. And my team was not prepared.
Why is that?
I don't know. Is it Jason Garrett's fault? You have to see that coming. You have to anticipate it. During pregame warm-up, you have to figure out which of the shoes work. I got to tell you, Zeke's shoes didn't work because he looked like he was running in place to me much of the night. He couldn't get traction. He couldn't get takeoff.
Our girls look good to me. CJ looked good.
They must know how to wear the right cleats, right?
Look, Skip, you only got three kinds.
I got it.
You got speed TDs, you got molded bottoms, you got seven studs.
All right. Somebody screwed that up for the Cowboys because there's no way that my defensive line gets blown off the football. They looked like they had no traction.
Hold on.
They looked like they could not hold that line. They couldn't hold their ground.
Was DeMarcus Lawrence active for that game?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you told me. You tell me when you watch TV, you know, you look for guys to flash. I saw no flashes.
I saw no flashes because he talked about how he was going to take Jared Goff's soul. I think the offensive line of the Rams, I think it took his soul.
That's what they call him. That's what they call their offensive line. Really? I had on a T-shirt.
Really?
They call him the body snatcher.
Really?
Yeah, the body snatcher.
Soul snatcher.
Ooh, hold up. What about I ain't seen no howling. What happened to the wolf hunter?
Gay
Chris Richard had an aneurysm, had to go to the hospital. Mm. He yelling and screaming, y'all got to get off the blocks.
I don't know.
When you see this ISO, he's lined up. We went over this in practice, son. I need you to get a share the block and make the play.
All I saw was Wolf Hunter and Jalen Smith running backwards, chasing people.
Bounce. Had them on skates, Skip.
Yeah. And would you believe, despite 273 Rams rushing yards, my quarterback fought my team back into that game because he will not quit.
You know what? Despite having the most fourth quarter come from behind wins since he's been in the NFL, despite having the highest completion percentage in his first three seasons at 61.1%, guess where he is today, Jenny, watching Skip and Shadow Undisputed.
Us. Yeah,
I wish he had been able to play linebacker on Saturday night because I would have had a better chance.
I wish he could have played quarterback better. Mm. That's what I wish.
266 yards passing.
What good is that?
When you only have the ball for like
24
minutes.
Them old cheap yards.
Yeah.
Oh, when they needed them.
Really?
I thought I need something in the first. I need something in the first half, Skip. I need something in the third quarter, Skip.
He got it all the way to 8 points, and you know, and I know, if they had held on that third and seven late, he gets the ball back. He's going to go win that game.
In the words of Luke,
you know it,
cheap,
and I know it.
Cheap,
you
cheap,
got
them
so
old cheap yards.
Lucky.
I don't get no lucky.
You got
I'll
so
do no
lucky,
luck.
And you are so relieved.
Luck is what happens
when
preparation meets opportunity. If you're prepared for a night when the opportunity presents itself, good things.
Yeah. And you thought you had me because that was your second case of duty you had won on Saturday. But then guess what happened? The 41-year-old happened on Sunday and wiped you out.
I would have been willing, Skip, I would have been willing to give you like 10 cases. I just needed the Cowboys because I wanted that energy.
Yeah.
Every time I got sick of you for the last 8 weeks coming in here, looking into the camera, which one is my camera? Mm-hmm. Like you don't know which one is your camera. You don't know exactly.
Which one is my camera?
Oh, there's plenty of cameras to go around.
You know
if they are watching,
camera.
Maybe they'll enjoy this next one. What is next for Kyler Murray? Could he really be a top 10 pick? We'll discuss next. No mercy. Kyler Murray made himself eligible for the NFL draft this week. So now the question is, how high will Kyler go? USA Today has him being drafted 6th to the Giants in their newest mock draft. That would pair him with Saquon Barkley, Odell Beckham Jr. to create a very scary offense. And ESPN's Todd McShay listed the Heisman Trophy winner as the 24th best prospect overall. He said Kyler is, quote, the most athletic quarterback prospect since Michael Vick in terms of quickness and speed. Shannon, which NFL team is the best fit for Kyler?
I like the Giants fit.
Really?
I really do. They play a lot of three wide receiver set. Saquon runs the ball extremely well out of the one back set. Kyler played a lot. Basically, that's all he played in, either the empty set or the one back set, Skip. Mm-hmm. But I was wondering, since Burger King is the sponsor of this segment, can I get a certificate for those French toast sticks, Skip?
You just thought of that right now?
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Are you hungry, or what's the problem?
Yeah, I just want to, I pass all these Burger King. I want to be able to go in there and take my gifts.
I'm sure we could
arrange
that. Well, I do like it. I do like him to the Giants. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you what, Skip, I don't know if he's going to get to the Giants. Because you know who I think going to take him? Because this guy, he loved Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
He loved Johnny Manziel.
He did.
And I don't believe those two quarterbacks can hold a candle to this quarterback. So with that being said, I don't see him getting past the Raiders. Mm-hmm. I know they have Derek Carr. But I don't believe John Gruden is in love with Derek Carr.
I agree.
I believe he would be in love with this kid.
For a little while.
Yeah.
You know how he is with quarterbacks.
Yes. Yeah.
Tough one.
And John, I don't know how well this kid could take that kind of mm-hmm. tough coaching, Skip.
Yeah.
John Gruden is an old school coach mm-hmm. in a new age, new wave mm-hmm. type game.
Yeah.
And the way you talk to John your former quarterback,
yep.
Rich Gannon and yep. Brad Johnson, some of these others, I don't know if you can take to that, but I don't see him, this young man, Kyler Murray, getting past the Raiders. If the Raiders stay in that spot, I don't see him getting past them because John Gruden loves the athletic, mobile quarterback that can throw the ball, that can run the ball. He can put him on the move and do so many different things with him. I like him to the Giants. I think it would be tremendous to have Saquon, Odell. If Odell's there, I don't know what the Giants, no telling what the Giants might do with that situation. I think it'll be a great fit, but I can see him going to the Raiders. They got 3 first-round picks.
Well, at least the Oakland fans could say, well, he's not an A, but he's a Raider, right?
Right.
So they might be a little pacified there.
Skip, like, you're getting ready to go to Vegas.
Yeah.
And what do you need in Vegas? Mm. You need show. You need splash, pizzazz.
It would be a splash. I'm with you. I know John Gruden pretty well, maybe very well. I don't think it'd be a good fit with Kyler.
Really?
Even though he might fall in love. He might fall head over heels in love. I just think he needs another Rich Gannon or Brad Johnson. Mm-hmm. He needs a veteran, tough guy quarterback who will talk back to him and tell him to shut the you-know-what up during games when he goes a little crazy. He goes into Chucky mode.
Correct.
And he gets profane, and he ridicules, and he dismisses, and it's hard to deal with. But if you can talk back to him, as Rich Gannon could really talk back to him.
When he asks you what the bleep are you doing, you say, I'm running the offense.
I'm doing this because I'm trying to do that.
Right.
Okay, I got you. Kyler's not going to be able to do that early on.
Right.
I'm just not sure it's a good coach-quarterback fit. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the best coach quarterback fit would be Cliff Kingsbury. You'd have Big 12 Arizona style, right?
Because
Cliff Kingsbury would do, he'd just work wonders with this.
He'd
let him do exactly what he did at Oklahoma and what Cliff did as a branch of that Oklahoma offense in Lubbock, Texas.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So is that going to happen? Would they really pull the trigger on that? Again, they hired Cliff Kingsbury, which was shocking enough to me. Could Cliff talk that brain trust there, the owner, into, we just got to move on from Josh Rosen. Let's just auction him off to the highest bidder. Maybe we can get a first for him. Mm-hmm. And let's go with Kyler with the number one overall pick. It would jumpstart that franchise because you'd have a hot new coach, even though he has no coaching credentials NFL-wise or even really college-wise to speak of.
Right.
And yet, if you threw Kyler Murray in there, would that not reinvigorate that town and that team?
Yeah.
Okay. So is that going to happen? It's probably a long shot. Gruden is a real possibility, which would scare me for Kyler. But I tweeted about this last night just because it just struck me. If you put Kyler at quarterback and Saquon at running back and Odell at wide receiver in New York City, would it not be voltage? Again, your Vegas point is very valid because it is showtown. But how about New York? Would this team not suddenly be the toast of New York again? Because it would be back page headlines every day.
Oh, they're going to win the headline page. But Skip, they'd be the offensive line help too because they can't be running for
his
life.
And it would also scare me in a different way. I'm not the biggest Pat Shurmur fan because he is old school. He is conventional, drop back passer.
Yep.
He did help Andy Reid coach Donovan McNabb early in Philadelphia, but I don't know exactly how much he had to do with it because Andy did everything.
Right.
Andy was the coordinator and the head coach, right? So, again, I watched
his about his offense in Minnesota, Skip?
What's that?
They went to the NFC Championship game.
Okay, maybe, but could he adapt to this? Because I watched his son all year at Vanderbilt, Kyle Shurmur. nice college player. I'm not sure he has a pro future, but he's just real conventional drop back passer, not very mobile, not very athletic. That's all Pat has really known. Could he adapt to Kyler? Because you got to let him do some of the things he does.
You got to let him do most 90% of what he does.
But here's what I love about Kyler, and I told you this early on this year, and I'm just watching this from TV. He has a supreme athletic confidence about him that borders on arrogance, but it's not hard to take. It's real. Remember, this kid never lost a football game in high school. He walks on the field like he belongs there. Mm-hmm. He plays the game like he knows he's good, and the defense also knows he's good. Mm-hmm. He's a playmaker who knows he can make plays. I just like the way he carries himself. It's completely the opposite of Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield was always the overachiever, the underdog, the fighter, chip on his shoulder, you know, screw you, I'm going to get you, and he wants to talk back at you, and he wants to do this and do that, and he wants to throw a football and hit the TCU kid in the head. He wants to fight you playing football, mm-hmm. and this kid is the complete opposite. He's quiet, and he carries himself with athletic dignity, and you've been around stars who just, they just know they're good.
Oh, yeah.
This kid, he's little, but he is stout, and he is good, mm-hmm. and there's no moment too big for him. There's no stage too big for him. He would walk on to the New York Giants stage, and he would own it. He would be just fine in New York.
Because I think the thing is, Skip, is that if the Raiders select this kid, even though it would be with their pick because they mm-hmm. finished terrible, no matter what happened, if he turns out to be good, they mm-hmm. people 10 years, 15 years from now, oh, they got him in that Khalil Mack trade, or they got him with Amari Cooper. It don't matter. It doesn't matter what you do with the other two picks. Mm-hmm. You get this kid, and this kid is as good as that people think he can be, mm-hmm. or as good as he showed in college. Mm-hmm. Who cares? Who cares what you get for Khalil Mack in that slot? Who mm-hmm. cares what you get for Amari Cooper? Because all is forgotten. You need that guy. It's nice to have any other position. But if you can hit, you mm-hmm. can land Moby Dick with the quarterback mm-hmm. position.
Yep.
Everything else is a piece of cake.
So wouldn't it be something if Kyler Murray went Eli Manning on John Gruden and told John Gruden, said, hey, nope, don't take me. If you take me, I'm playing for the A's.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play for the Raiders. I'll play for the A's if you take me.
Right.
I'm going to New York or I'm not playing football.
So you want to throw his little weight around. It ain't much about $165, but throw it around.
I think he's more 195-ish.
Man, that man ain't no 195.
I think he's put together.
No.
I do.
No. Jenny say no.
Pure muscle. I didn't say that.
Jenny say no.
Jenny said yes.
I think he's a strong kid.
He's stepping that box. Well, tell the truth.
What?
Why you had to take your heels off?
I did some research in an old photo from an interview with he and I, and it's pretty much 5'8 3/4".
Okay, and you look at eye.
Got me a bit, but think about the cleats.
Yeah.
Did some research.
And you barefooted.
Uh-huh. I was not barefoot on the field. That I can confirm.
Well, he would be the shortest starting quarterback in the history of the National Football League, but.
He might be one of the shortest
star.
Players. Yeah. I don't know, Sproles might
be. That's okay. Someone's got to be that short guy. Yeah. Uh-huh. He doesn't mind. He's got the confidence. He doesn't
play
like a small kid.
Hey, don't worry about it. When he's standing on about 14, 15 million guaranteed, mm-hmm. he'd be real tall. He'd be about,
really
he'd be about 7 foot tall.
Mm. Oh, okay. Is that how it works?
Yeah.
And if he goes in the first 5 or 6 picks, his money is going to be just fine.
Yeah. Right? Yep. Saquon got 28 mm-hmm. million fully guaranteed.
Yep.
That's with the number 2 pick.
Mm-hmm.
So you normally get a 10% increase of what? And hold on. Now, quarterback Skip, he's going to probably get a 15% increase from where he went, where that spot was selected.
Yeah.
So he'd be all right.
All I know is if they land Kyler, my Cowboys are in some trouble playing those Giants, because that would be
your Cowboys in trouble regardless.
That would be
Walking to him. We're going to talk about that later. Walking to him there.
Do you know how happy Odell would be? Because the greatest thing Kyler did for Hollywood Brown is he can let you uncover, because mm-hmm. he can just escape and escape, and he'll escape to throw more than to run many times. He'll buy time, and you can just run all over the place, and Odell would find himself wide open for lots of deep throws.
You're right about the star power, though. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the tweet. I saw how many people retweeted and responded.
Wow.
Everything we say about Kyler,
it just explodes.
He's got that star.
So you're going to pretend like Ophelia ain't make a decision yesterday.
Okay.
Who?
The Eagles.
The Eagles.
We're not talking about the Eagles yet.
They're dead in the water. They're stuck with your guy.
We'll talk about them a bit
limp
later.
Limp it to them.
But first, we're going to talk about Antonio Brown. Is he too much of a diva?
Ooh.
His former coach says yes. Uh-oh. And we'll discuss that with James Harrison, who knows him well. No mercy. Antonio Brown's days in Pittsburgh might be over, and his reputation might be a turnoff for any potential suitors. New Bucks head coach Bruce Arians was the Steelers' offensive coordinator during AB's first two seasons in Pittsburgh, and yesterday he took a major shot at Brown. Arians said that AB plays as hard as anybody during games, but, quote, there's too much miscommunication, too much diva. I've heard so many stories. Mm. We're joined by FS1 NFL analyst, former Steeler, James Harrison. Good to have you back with us. James, do you have a problem with hearing this from Arians?
I don't have a problem with hearing it from Arians because when I look at it, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. You know, I'm up here to give my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I'm here. He's looking at it from what he's seen in 2010 when he was a rookie. And, of course, leading up to now, people change. Whether that's for the good or for the better, that's up to, you know, that individual of what type of person they are.
Right.
So, you know, with him saying this, it gives to other people, it gives some weight to it because he was around him.
Correct.
And with all of the situations that's going on around him right now, it leads to a reason that he may be right, he may be wrong, but I don't have a problem with him saying that.
I do, because he's not in the locker room. Normally coaches don't take shots at other players' coaches, and that's what he did. He took a shot at him. Everybody changed. Do you actually think AB was going to be the same, has had the same mentality as a fifth-round draft pick after being considered one of the two best receivers in all of football? Everybody changed. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the same – hold on. This is the same Bruce Arians that wrote in a book that says Ben is not the same guy that you drafted. He said Ben is immature, as if the stories of his greatness of Big Ben had gone to his head. Okay. So everybody changes. Mm. Of course, Gil. Everybody's going to change. You're not going to be. I wasn't the same. Look, now my behavior, because of what I treated people the same way. But I didn't. My mentality, Skip, I thought of a totally different way, because now all of a sudden, I wasn't that seventh-round skinny kid from Savannah State. I wasn't just a special teams player. I was one of the best players in the NFL. I felt I was one that was the best player at my position. Mm-hmm. Antonio Brown feels the same way.
Sure.
There's not one player in the NFL that's come in as an under, say, a fifth round, or you think Tom Brady's the same guy? So Tom Brady's the exact same guy that was a sixth-round draft pick his rookie year.
No.
Now, he's golly gee, way as old, but that part has not changed. I wish it would.
It's gotten better.
But it hasn't. Come on, Skip.
Has Tom Brady become a diva? I don't think he's a diva.
Tom Brady, listen, I tell people this all the time, and I played with a great quarterback in John Elway. Quarterbacks have the biggest ego of any person that plays professional football. They just do the best job of hiding it.
Wow.
They've been coached in such a way that you can't display that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, I'm not telling you what someone told me to say. I'm telling you what I know. That's fact.
Well, you got to have a big ego to play that position.
Well, so
it's
he a
hard,
diva.
Man.
So he a diva. What? So in other words, yeah, he a diva then, right?
No, I wouldn't. Well, like you said, a quarterback does a better job of concealing it because he is a leader and everyone is looking at him.
Yes.
And you kind of hold it inside and you may take little pot shots here and there, say a little something here and there, but for the most part, you try and keep it within.
Mm-hmm.
A receiver, it's a team sport, but that is an individual position.
It is.
You want your catches, you want your numbers.
Do.
So you get a different person, you know, you get a different personality in that position. And you go from a guy, like he said, that was, you know, drafted in the later rounds to now being the number one guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It changes a little.
I know Bruce Arians a little, and I do like him a lot because he just says whatever is in his head.
He
just speaks it, and most head coaches will not do that. But I do respect him for that. And I think you would agree. There's some diva operating here with Antonio.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So is he right about what he said? Yeah. He said that was some unvarnished truth there about Big Ben, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The problem with Antonio and Odell Beckham Jr. is, to me, they're both victims of social media in that it made them superstars, literally superstars on social, and it's hard at that position to live up to their superstardom on social media during football games because they can't control their fate.
Right.
It's a completely dependent position, as you know all too well.
Correct.
Some games, you're going to get triple covered, and he's just not going to throw it to you, and you can't help it. There's nothing you can do to make it any better. So some games, you're going to have numbers, and some games, you're not going to have any numbers. And it's going to drive you you're going to act crazy after the game because, you know, there's a whole social world out there saying, what happened, Antonio?
What happened today? What about my fantasy point?
What happened to you?
Fantasy has killed this game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Odell's the same way. And the first victim ever of social media was my friend Chad Ochocinco or Chad Johnson because it's almost like he invented social media. he took it over as the first diva receiver to do so. And I think we're going to have Chad on the show here in the next few days. I hope. I think we're trying to make that happen.
That'd be great.
But the point is, I'm going to ask him if he comes on, do you look back and regret your presence on social media? Because he owned it, and then after a while, it owned him.
Because the thing with what has happened, Skip, is that that position has been coached and has convinced themselves that if I don't get my numbers, I didn't do anything today.
Right.
See, they don't look at it if the running back rushes for 200 yards and we did a great job in the run game. Mm-hmm. They don't look at it like that. Everything that their value to a football team, the value to themselves is tied up. I need 10 for $1.50 and 2 touchdowns. And if you only look at success through that prism, through that lens, well, you're going to set yourself up for failure. Because the likelihood of you getting 10 for $1.50 and 2 touchdowns every game is not very good.
No.
You have to look at it like, okay, today TD ran for 200. Me, Ed, and Rod, we might have had 15 catches between us, 80 yards. You know, leading receiver might have had 80. Mm-hmm. We won, but we feel good that TD got 250. But if I just looked at it like, man, yeah, we won. TD had 190, but, man, I only had 4 catches. Man, that's a poor job.
Mm-hmm.
You set yourself up for failure.
Yeah.
So wide receivers have become the closest thing to NBA stars the NFL has, except – Antonio can't dribble the ball up the court and decide, I'm going to shoot this,
right?
So he can't – LeBron can – he can control his fate a lot more than Antonio can, right?
And the quarterback, Skip, what? Everything that I do, all my success is tied to one player, the quarterback. He has to throw me the ball. And so in order for me to dance, in order for me to point first down, in order for me to take my helmet off or slide down the goal post, what must happen? I need to catch the football and get the ball into the end zone. So that's the only way you're going to know who I am. Mm-hmm. So even if your running back goes for 250 and I did a great job blocking, you're going to talk about him. You're not talking about me. So I need to do something. Mm-hmm. Now, if I ain't catching a bunch of passes, guess what else I can do to get you to notice me? Act a fool. I throw a water cooler here and there. I might squirt the official with some water. I get you to look at me. Mm-hmm. It might not be the way that I want to necessarily in a positive manner, but you'll talk about me.
This man right here is like a big brother to Antonio. Is that fair? Big brother,
I would say that,
mentor, big brother, whichever. Mm-hmm. I know him a little. We've had him on the show. I've had him on several different shows I've been on. And I like him because I think his heart is good. Yeah. I think sometimes he loses perspective on things because of social media.
Emotions.
He got big emotions because they all do, all those, he's extremely gifted, man, just extremely gifted. Have you seen any change in him over the last 3 years? Have you talked to him about that?
Me and Antonio, we talk, even as recent as, you know, the last time he came to the house, we had conversations about, you know, other things, but we really didn't go into detail. With him and I, it's understanding of I'm going to tell you how I feel, he's going to tell me how he feels, and we can agree to disagree. But I spoke my piece. I told you how I feel about it. Rather, it's right, wrong, or indifferent, and you told me yours.
And what give us and, an idea. What would you tell him?
That's just it. That's the conversation that's in house between him and I. And you know, I wouldn't want to speak on that unless that was something he went and spoke on himself first.
Let me ask you this: you're an undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
Did you change?
Yes, but I didn't change as far as like my personality, my feelings about myself. How I felt going into games, how I felt about going against other players, and you know,
gave you that confidence.
Gave me that confidence to, you know, but I didn't express that. Like I wasn't a vocal guy.
Right.
I didn't go out and tell you what I was gonna do to you. I just did it.
Right.
Different people express, you know, that confidence in different ways. And some people express it by going and just doing it. Some people express it by talking about it.
I'm a talker. I've been a talker.
Yeah, you've been
a talker.
That's all you do is talk.
Last quick question. Antonio keeps talking about there's a big interview coming, and you guys posted that little video.
Yeah, listen, me and Antonio did not do an interview. That was just him at the house chilling, and it happened to be someone called and was like, Tomlin is about to do his interview.
Because he was on live.
Right.
You guys were.
Yeah, he turned his interview on. We turned the interview on, and basically it was like a little troll, you know. That's
it was a big troll.
I was going to say, yeah. Gavin, you guys may be a bigger troll than you guys intended it to be.
Does he have any big interview planned that you know of?
I don't know, but he has been saying that at some point in time he was going to, you know, give his side if that became necessary.
I thought maybe you would be the interviewer.
No.
Well, it need to be necessary. Yeah. He need to sit right on there with your seat.
He can join us.
Right there.
That'd be fun.
That would work.
I'm available.
Tell him what's going on.
Yeah. Boy, let's hear from him. I want to hear his side.
Give him a call. Soon.
Okay.
Hit him on IG. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.